Welcome back to another episode of the Double or Nothing podcast. I'm your host, Johnny B, alongside Dylan over here. One of my more exciting times of the year, NFL free agency. And I don't remember a time where it was like this crazy. I mean, as soon as the first day hit, it was like 12:01. Adam Schefter was just firing off tweets.
Yeah.
Left and right. My phone was nonstop ringing the entire day. But we'll get into the bigger free agents. We know a lot of there's a lot of moving pieces this week, probably more than we can get into in the hour that we do this. But we're gonna go through the quarterbacks, the wide receivers, what you know, what we thought were the good signings, what we thought were the bad signings. The biggest one I think to start off is, you know, we'll go with the hometown first, the Jets getting Fields. Which
yeah.
one we kind of thought when we talked last week, but what was your initial reaction and what do you still think now?
I'm like literally right down the middle on the whole thing because probably my least favorite option going into free agency of somebody who I would have wanted the direction I would want the Jets to go in the quarterback department. But at the same time, I heard there was like a little bit of a bidding war for him that it got to a point where, I mean, him getting $40 million in over 2 years, $20 million a year, thinks a little bit of a stretch for a quarterback who's debatably about as unproven as any free agent could be.
Yeah.
But I understand the whole potential thing. I mean, we go over this
all the time.
In small bits and pieces in every podcast. Everyone gets hooked on the potential side of things. So I guess when you're not going to have to pay a guy that much as far as quarterbacks are concerned, and he does have the capabilities of running for, you know, I mean, I think he's got the single game rushing record, right? Like 170 some odd yards in a game. So
yeah.
He does have the ability to run the football. And I do like the idea that you are paying a guy low end money as far as quarterbacks are concerned. And he does have like that 20-30% chance to be like really good. But I do think that there's a higher possibility that Justin Fields isn't that good than he is above average.
Yeah.
So I guess it's one of those things where I'm not going to get too low because there's always the potential that he could play well, but I'm definitely not on the opposite end where I'm like, this guy's going to run for 80 yards a game. This offense is going to be electric. I think it has the small possibility of that being the case, but I think there's a higher possibility that the Jets just find themselves in the center of mediocrity again.
Yeah, my first reaction, I put out a tweet, it was like, I have no idea how to feel about this. Because I still don't. I think you're right. I think it low expectations, but it's also low, you know, it's $20 million. I think they have somehow an out after this year, possibly. Low risk, low reward, or medium reward kind of thing. I think you and I, we were kind of Fields fans at the end there in Chicago. I thought we played pretty well. And then it was like, wow, his offensive line's really bad. Then he did well for the Steelers, but let's not get it confused. I mean, they were scoring like 17 points a game, and the defense was winning every game for them.
Yeah.
If that's something the Jets, you know, they bulk up their defense and they want to win by him not turning the ball over, keeping the offense on the field with his legs. He already has like the Garrett Wilson friendship, but I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I think they're going to go win 10 games because I really don't know if they are with him.
No, I think it's a very, very weird situation because I think he's the weirdest quarterback free agent, right?
Yeah.
Out of everybody who's available. I mean, maybe Daniel Jones is in the same boat. I mean, just being a little bit of a strange guy. I think he's a little bit higher of a ceiling than Danny Dimes. But I don't think they're as far off as people think. And that's like the scary part of the Jets signing, right? And on the other end, if they kind of mimic a Ravens-type offense where they run a lot of read option and he knows what he's doing – and he can run the ball. I mean, I definitely think Justin Fields is a run-first guy.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I don't think he has enough outside help. I mean, they got rid of Conklin, which I thought was strange because I thought he was a great tight end for receiving capabilities. Right now, all he has is Garrett Wilson right now.
I know, but
it's just
– I think the seventh spot, depending on which direction they go, I think a lot of people are talking about offensive tackle from Missouri or – Or I don't know where. I think the OT is from Missouri. I'm not 100% sure, but
yeah.
I do hope they go in the direction, the more exciting direction of that Arizona receiver. The kid who's getting comps to like Mike Evans and Drake.
He
London
might go before that.
Stuff.
I mean,
it's possible. It's possible. But if they can land a guy like him, a bigger body, bigger red zone target kind of guy, I think that could be helpful. I do think Tyler Conklin would have been a really good safety blanket for a quarterback who's not as quick to read through the defenses and kind of always looking to check something down.
Yeah.
But I also, on the other end, think that Breece Hall is one of the better receiving backs in football. So as far as if he does kind of panic, because he tends to hold on to the ball way too long.
Yeah.
So if he gets in those situations where he's kind of stuck, can't read the defense, can't get through his progressions, he does have Breece Hall as a check down, which is not every team has it. I know there are a lot of receiving backs, but Breece Hall is on the upper echelon of guys who can catch the ball out of the backfield. So I think that if they can run, and I do think somebody who could surprise people this year for the Jets, especially with the signing of Justin Fields, is Malachi Corey. I think like they could do like – I know they didn't
they
do anything
last
year. They
were high on him going into last year.
But if they could run similar stuff that like the Niners ran with Debo, with Malachi, and then Braylon Allen is also a very serviceable backup, like a guy who could punch it through the numbers in the goal line situation. So him, Breece Hall, Malachi Corey, Justin Fields, and now they got this Lions coordinator guy who came in and was involved in a lot of the play calling, or not play calling, but play design for Detroit. Yeah. I do think that if they use those guys in the right pieces and they understand Justin Fields' limitations as far as throwing the football, I do think the Jets can be dangerous. But we're talking like picture perfect, everything goes right kind of world. But I don't think it's going to be epic fail either. I honestly think the first thing that came to my mind is the Jets will be in the ballpark of 500 football and maybe have an outside chance towards the end of the year to grab a wild card spot.
Yeah. My initial reaction was 8-9, hopefully 9-8.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you have a chance. Run heavy first, though. They have no other choice.
Yeah,
they're going to have to try to control clock, control the game. But
I guess it does
we'll
help
see how it goes.
It does help that Garrett Wilson and him played together. I mean, I don't think it means a ton, but I think it means enough for a guy like Justin Fields who.
Maybe you won't hear the crying.
Exactly. That's what I was telling
Shane. You
won't
hear the crying anymore.
Garrett Wilson thinking that he has this reign over the Jets organization to make demands and these types of things is just outrageous. So,
like, hey, you got your buddy.
Yeah.
You know?
Hopefully, them getting somebody who he feels comfortable with will just shut him the fuck up. You know what I mean? Like, because
I hope so.
Honestly, for a guy as talented as Garrett Wilson is, like, he just becomes so much of an annoyance, and it makes you almost like borderline root against somebody like that, because it's like when you see A.J. Brown throw his fits on the sidelines. Like, I'm the biggest Jalen Hurts hater there is, but it's like, dude, just shut up and go play football.
Yeah, like, I don't feel bad for you. Your team is up 20. You guys just scored a touchdown, and you're getting angry
on
the sideline.
And reading fake books and all the stuff. I guess this is crazy. So the wide receivers crying a lot. I do think it helps that they have that initial chemistry from Ohio State. You know, and we'll see what happens with the other. If the Jets get any outside help on offense, that would be a big, big help for Justin Fields in the draft. So we'll see.
We'll see how it goes. The next big quarterback signing we have. Well, we got two options here, but we'll go with your boy first. Sam Darnold to the Seahawks.
Yeah, this one was
a strange move.
Yeah, this was an interesting one. I mean, not interesting that Seattle went for Sam Darnold. Just everything that transpired with Seattle.
With Seattle as a whole. With DK going to Pittsburgh. It seems like they're tearing down, but
rebuilding at the same time, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what their plan is.
I would have loved to have seen Sam Darnold come home to the New York. That's what I wanted to see happen. Or at least out of my top two or three options for Jets quarterback direction going into this year. Didn't happen. I don't really understand Seattle's movement, because they get rid of Geno, and Geno goes over back with Pete Carroll to LA.
Raiders.
And DK getting shipped off to Pittsburgh. And then, I mean, Tyler Lockett's not there anymore, so now they just have...
They have Bobo and JSN.
JSN is nasty,
good. He's great.
But he's also a product of how good the other guys were around him, too. So, Sam Darnold, I don't think he's not going to be successful there. I just think the team kind of...
It's tougher
...picked
now.
Itself apart.
I feel bad for Seattle fans because, in my opinion, as of right now, the team on offense is definitely going to take a step back. I mean, you can't lose Lockett and DK and Geno Smith, who's been there and put up good numbers for a couple of years, and expect him to be like, oh, well, you know, go make the playoffs now with less talent around you.
I agree, but the only thing I'll say is I do think Sam Darnold is good.
Yeah.
I think Sam Darnold is good.
I think they're both comparable. I think they're similar quarterbacks, and Geno Smith wanted more money, and it goes to show you he got more money by like $10 million more a year. So, I mean, maybe Seattle didn't want to pay that. Maybe they're cutting ties with DK. I don't really know what they're doing all this for, but it might be they're trying to get out of the old Seattle way. Like, although DK, that was a Pete Carroll guy, so was Geno, so is like, maybe they're just trying to tear down.
Yeah, new vision. But to me, it just seems like when you see the number that Darnold got, I thought he was worth a lot more.
I thought that was like, for me as a Jets
fan, it's kind of like, so we overpaid for Fields because of, you know, other teams' interest. And then you kind of let Seattle slide in and underpay for Darnold. I know overall the money is still more in the Darnold section, but it's like, to me, as the New York Jets, like, I think you saw what Sam Darnold can do if he has a good team around him, right? Yeah. I mean, the guy absolutely played out of his mind last year, and Garrett Wilson is not Justin Jefferson, but he's a damn good fucking receiver. So if you could have gotten a good counterpart, like a good number two receiver, maybe went out and got like a Cooper Kupp or somebody to mimic what a Jordan Addison could have been for them. Yeah. And you have Breece Hall, who I think is better than Aaron Jones, or at least at this point on par. I really think that the Jets could have mimicked something, not the same, but something similar that he had in Minnesota. And I think we kind of just saw what he did with the talent he had in Minnesota. So it's kind of a little frustrating when it's like, hey, this is a guy I think a lot of people thought, had he won one of those two games, had he won the NFC North, we're talking $50+ million a year.
I know. Literally, and two games.
And two games, and he gets 33, 34. I mean, it's like, for an extra $10, $15 million a year, I probably would have pulled the trigger on Darnold. But who knows? Maybe I'm dead wrong. Maybe Justin Fields shocks the world and becomes Jaden Daniels-esque and fucking runs all over the fucking place and gets his pass game in order. So it's possible. And Justin Fields, I will give him credit on this front. I think a lot of people look at him as a body style of like an early days Lamar or like a Jaden Daniels now. Like, me and Shane were talking about it in the car on the way home from golf yesterday. Like, Justin Fields is a big body guy. Justin Fields' stature is big. Like, he's not the kind of guy who needs to go in and slide 100 times. Like, if he needs the first down, he could put his head down and get it. So I do think that helps him for red zone stuff for the Jets. If he takes off around the side, like, you know, on third and goal from the 7, like, you have confidence he could lean into somebody and get over. You know?
I think their overall record's probably going to be maybe a win higher than Seattle this year. I feel bad for Sam because I feel like he's going into a situation now where he's going to have to save like a team. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think Seattle's defense is very good. And now their offense is, I don't know. I feel like he should have got paid more. I think, like we said this before, he could have been in that $40 million range. It sucks because of two below average games where, let's be honest, his offensive line didn't do him that many favors. But, I mean, it's going to be tough. I feel bad. I would have liked to see him on the Jets too.
I would have liked to see him at anywhere where he could have kind of had success. Not saying he can't have success in Seattle. I just think the market is, I guess, low-key, which is good for pressure situations, which I guess he has some trouble with. But
now he's got to go play outside too, which sucks. You know, he was playing in a dome in Minnesota, and now he's not.
I just think overall, it just doesn't make sense from a marketing perspective. Like, you had a chance to come home to New York after a killer season. You could sign all these sponsorship deals. You could do all this crazy stuff with your image overall off the football field. Plus, all these fans who would love to see a homecoming of a quarterback who they let go, who maybe was, like, you know, their white buffalo, and now could come home and fucking do good. Like, I thought the storyline would have been good for Darnold. He could have had a lot of buzz on and off the field. But maybe he's not looking for that. Maybe that pressure and all those lights are what made him crumble towards the end of the last season. So he goes to Seattle, maybe a smaller market team, and it doesn't have a lot of expectation because they're getting rid of a lot of players, so the pressure level might be a little bit lower.
Just, yeah, it's dropping down.
So maybe he just likes the idea of, hey, I'll take my $33 million with no real expectations, and hopefully I just go play good football.
Yeah, I mean, they have an out to it. I mean, it's 3 years, $100 mil, but $55 million guaranteed. So they're definitely signed up for 2 years, and I just hope they don't use him as a scapegoat in 2 years from now.
Yeah,
we'll see. Hopefully they get him some help. And what about Geno on the Raiders?
I like that move. I like that move for the Raiders. Mm-hmm. Not to say that the Raiders are a quarterback away, because I don't think they were. But I like the idea. I think a lot of people are dogging Brady for saying, "Oh, like what's Brady doing?" I think Brady is a smart enough guy, and he knows football well enough where he sees something in Geno. I think he had a good part in going and getting him. Yeah. I think Pete Carroll and Geno having the chemistry they already have from a head coach and quarterback position is important. I do think Jacoby Myers is better than people think. They re-signed Max Crosby. So, I mean, they're doing as best as they can from an organizational standpoint to keep the hopes alive. They need a lot more, especially playing in the division they play in now, with the Broncos kind of on the rise, with the Chargers on the rise, and you know, the Chiefs are sitting atop the throne. So, but the Raiders have always played those teams tough. So I do like what they're doing. I do think Geno improves their team quite a bit, and I do think that that what they've done definitely is a step in the right direction more than it is the wrong.
If they got, like you said, Jacoby Myers, 1,000-yard receiver last year.
Very good.
Brock Bowers, 1,000-yard tight end guy last year. If they go get, if somehow Travis Hunter falls, or even the guy from Arizona falls to them,
they're looking good.
You have a solid team.
Yeah,
I think they're kind of in like a win now mode. I mean, Pete Carroll's 80 years old, man. I mean, they're not looking to start from scratch. Otherwise, they wouldn't have hired him. I agree. Available quarterbacks, he's probably the most consistent one there. So
I like the move. Yeah, I like what the Raiders are doing. I don't think that any Raiders fan is upset with what's going on. No. Resigning your guy and Max Crosby, getting a coach that's a proven head coach, can win at the highest level. I think Jacoby Myers is one of the more underrated players who never gets talked about and has extreme talent. I don't necessarily know that he's a number one guy, so I think it'd be nice to go out and get a solidified one so he could kind of fall into like the Jordan Addison category, the Devontae Smith category, because I do think he stacks up well against some of those guys. You know, we'll see what the Raiders do.
I think they're gonna have a good draft. I think they're gonna go get a running back at some point.
If they get Ashdown Jeanty, I mean, they're gonna be
a solid team.
Yeah, they're gonna be a solid team. I agree with that.
Next, let's see. DK going to the Steelers.
DK going to the Steelers is funny just because you see the memes come out, all his demands, and then like every single demand is like polar opposite of Pittsburgh. I think it just boils down to these guys are just looking for money, man. So DK, I don't knock it, because if I was in his boat, where I think a lot of people in America, if they're in the position where they can go get the most money, they're going to get the most money. And I'm sure DK likes the idea that Mike Tomlin has a winning mentality. He just somehow finds a way to not go under 500, so they're always kind of in the mix in a sense.
I know Russell Wilson's not there, but he does fit the Russell Wilson kind of receiver.
I like Russell Wilson with DK and George Pickens, because I think they're deep ball, go get it guys, and I think Russell Wilson's a deep ball, go get it quarterback.
The Steelers, honestly, like I think they did this move because they want to add a Pickens. I don't think Pickens will be for long there. What he did at the end of the year in the last couple of games, I mean, he quit on the team.
He's a loser, but he's incredible. Yeah. Like, you know, he's a loser, but he's incredible. Like,
if Mike Tomlin can't handle him, no one can. Like, to me, he's just a lost cause. All the talent in the world, but he quit the last 5 weeks. So let's be real.
Like, I agree with that, but like, some guys are just like, he's just so talented that like, he's one of the few people that I would say, like, I hate all of what he does on and off the football field as far as, like, his antics go with the eye black, I'm always open, and the fucking stupid press conferences.
Yeah, the press conferences after the game. Hey, what can the offense do to improve? Nothing.
Like, yeah.
Okay. All right. Just say you don't want to be here.
Yes. But I will say, you know, as much as it pains me to say, you know, you're pretty excited as a Pittsburgh fan. You go get Aaron Rodgers, I think.
Rodgers. I know they just signed Slay. I don't know totally what Slay contributes. He's getting older. But
who signed Slay?
Pittsburgh.
Oh, Okay. Yeah,
Darius Slay. Yeah.
Darius Slay. Now, so. I think that the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think a lot of people are way down here. They think it's, hey, Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, the Giants and the Steelers, and the loser gets Russ. I think that Russ is a more than competent quarterback who can win you football games. He can throw the deep ball extremely well, and who better to throw the deep balls to than George Pickens and DK Metcalf? Yeah. So I really, really, really like Russ staying in Pittsburgh, but – you know, very possible that Aaron Rodgers goes there, and
if
very
I
possible
Rodgers, I'd want to go there. I mean, it's
he
tough.
Likes New York though because he's already set up in Jersey.
It's just so tough. It's like both teams are in the hardest divisions in football. It's like, do you really want to go to the Giants where like you have to deal with the Cowboys, Commanders, and Eagles now, or do you really like? I would rather go to Pittsburgh because at least Cleveland's not great right now.
And you can go hang 40 on the Bengals any week.
On the Bengals. And on the, you know, the Ravens defense wasn't awesome, but they were okay. But it's like, I would be in no rush if I was Aaron Rodgers to end my career in New York. And yes.
I know, but I do think part of him is very ego-driven where he says, hey, the Jets quit on me. Nothing would fuel me more than to go to New York and prove the Jets fans wrong and play in the same stadium and have good success. And I think that's what a lot of Jets fans fear. That's what
I would
fear.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. If he goes to the Giants, they're going to do well.
Yeah, so I don't know who's going to go where. I like Pittsburgh's idea behind going and getting Metcalf. I think that they're trying to lure the idea of quarterbacks wanting to be there, you know? So I think DK helps their argument. Like, if you're Aaron Rodgers, you're sitting on the couch, you're deciding between Pittsburgh and the Giants, all of a sudden you see Pittsburgh kind of signs DK, it definitely opens your eyes to, hey,
I got Pickens and DK for a full year.
I got Freiermuth. I got, like, you know, Jalen Warren can catch the ball out of the backfield. I know Najee just went to the Chargers, but... Yeah, I like DK. I like what the Steelers are doing. I like what a lot of these teams are doing in free agency, going after it and trying to get good players.
Yeah, a lot of movement.
A lot of teams going out and trying to get good players. But I think Pittsburgh knows that, hey, if we want to compete against teams like the Ravens and even teams like the Bengals, knowing that the Bengals can always scare anybody, I like what Pittsburgh's doing.
Yeah, the last quarterback right now. Well, we're waiting for a couple more dominoes to fall, Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. But Danny Dimes going to the Colts. What does this mean? Who do you think's going to start? Or was he brought there just to kind of light a fire a little bit under Anthony Richardson?
I don't really think the Colts signed Danny Dimes with...
Which, one thing I will say quick, I thought the Colts would have been a great spot for Sam Darnold. I cannot believe that they didn't go for someone like him. But keep going.
I think that the Colts believe in Anthony Richardson and wanted, like you said, wanted to get somebody who was good enough to fuel Anthony Richardson to say, hey, I need to step up and play some good football.
And young enough.
But like, not get somebody good enough where it just demoralizes them. So I think that Danny Dimes will probably compete at a very high level against Anthony Richardson in camp. And there will be reports all offseason, like going into the season, that Danny Dimes might be outperforming Anthony Richardson in camp. All this stuff. Like, it'll be all this like little story to fuel Anthony Richardson. But Anthony Richardson is the definition of do or die. He's on his last leg. Like, potential only carries you a season or two. Once you break that barrier, look at guys like Justin Fields. Like, Justin Fields, like, hung on to that potential thing in Chicago for only so long, and then he becomes in no man's land, right? I mean, he bounced back, he landed with the Jets, but, like, he's on his last leg too, you know? So I think Anthony Richardson is the definition of what could be. He's not proven anything outside of a couple cool throws. So
he's the definition of, like, and I heard this week, it's like, should have stayed in college two more years. And it's like, now with the NIL deals going on now, Jaden Daniels played in college 4 or 5 years. If he came out at the same age Anthony Richardson came out, he was not going to be a first, second, or third round quarterback. He just wasn't.
Yeah.
This guy's got to stay in college just a little longer now. That's what Anthony Richardson needed. I mean, we're going to hear for 3 more years how he's still under 25 years old.
Which I guess is good and bad.
Which is right, but I mean, he's got, I don't know.
We'll see what happens in Indianapolis. I think the Colts did it to fuel Richardson to be more competitive, because you heard the stupid press conference where he comes out and says he was tired and he was this and he was that. So I think there's a lot of allegations that maybe his effort levels aren't as high as they'd like him to be.
Yep.
So I think Danny Dimes was to pump up the effort level more than it was, hey, we want Danny Dimes to start and be our next franchise guy.
No, and listen, let's be honest, Anthony Richardson gets hurt a lot, so they want someone who can also move a little bit and have the chance to keep their same style of offense.
I think if Anthony Richardson goes down, I do think Danny Dimes is more than, I think Danny Dimes might be one of the best backups in football if he becomes the backup this year.
All right, we got 4 minutes. We'll hit the Bills real quick. Josh Palmer and Joey Bosa going to the Bills.
Josh Palmer does nothing for me. I mean, the Bills got to do better than that. Josh Palmer is not a difference maker at all. He's not the kind of guy who if you're a Bills fan, you're jumping up off the couch because you signed him. Joey Bosa, same thing. Joey Bosa is a great edge rusher if he's healthy
all the time.
And he's injured all the time. I would have liked to see Joey go play with his brother Nick.
Yeah,
I
me
think
too.
It would have been cool.
Me too.
But yeah, I mean, Joey Bosa's he's an exciting pickup because of what he could be. Because when he is healthy, he is dominant.
I don't mind him doing it. Listen, it's low risk for them. It's 1 year contract. And it's like, go prove to us that you're a difference maker better, you know, than what they thought Von Miller was going to be. And obviously he wasn't. They just really want – they'll probably bubble wrap him to the playoffs.
If I was the Bills, I would have taken that money and not gotten either of those guys and went and got DK.
Yeah, where's Amari Cooper? Is he still on the Bills?
I think Amari Cooper is free agent. I think it was
end of the year.
So I think I could see Amari Cooper going back to Dallas.
Wow, I was
going to
say, you haven't heard a thing about Amari Cooper.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are down on him just because he didn't perform last year, but I do think he'll go back to somewhere where he knows he has chemistry. Yeah. He can go back to Dallas.
Listen, he got put in a crap spot to play with Deshaun Watson, who can't throw football, and then he jumps in on the Bills mid-year and doesn't really know the playbook or familiarity with Josh Allen, but that stinks. I thought Amari Cooper would be good. I think
Cooper Kupp would be good for Dallas or Buffalo as well. So I would have, if I'm the Bills, I would have rather paid Cooper Kupp than Josh Palmer.
Yeah.
But hey, whatever. I mean, I don't think Josh Palmer is going to be a difference maker in Buffalo, but it's, I think, kidding, that Joey Bosa has a 50-50 shot. He stays healthy, he could be a game wrecker. He doesn't, it'll be the
Listen, wrap them up until playoffs and then say, then you just let them go.
Yeah.
All right. Another move that was done was Davante Adams to the Rams.
Oh, yeah. Davante Adams to the Rams is gigantic.
I thought that was a huge, huge move for them.
Yeah. I mean, you could.
I love Cooper
Kupp. Make that much of an argument for any wide receiver duo being better. I mean, maybe the Eagles, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, maybe Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison.
I think a Devontae.
Or maybe Devontae,
Adam. I mean, yeah, you're talking the top three wide receiver duo now.
Yeah, I mean, it would be close. I mean, if the only argument, the lowest you could put them is four.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, the lowest.
The lowest you could put them is four. Yep. Devontae's getting older for sure, but still an unbelievable talent. You saw how he turned on the Jets at the end of the year. Uh-huh. Turned on, like, no pun intended, like turned on. Like,
I mean,
I
heard people like, oh man, he's getting like, he had a 200-yard game last year still. Like,
yeah, I mean, he's very, very talented. He fits the Rams offense perfect with all the crossers they run and all his shiftiness. He's very much like Jay Jettas before Jay Jettas, the way he has that body movement and gets open.
He's still unbelievable.
His release is ridiculous. He doesn't have straight line speed, but he's got on-field speed, you know? So I love Davante Adams to the Rams. I think that it's a really, really good fit for them. A little disappointing to see how, like, out they were on Cooper. I mean, like, a guy who was a Triple Crown winner there, helped them win a Super Bowl, and then kind of they just fucking were all out on him.
I mean, he was healthy for the most part this year. I mean, I know he missed, like, two or three games at the same time that Puka did. It just seemed like at the end of the year they were just, you know what, they kind of started putting Puka in that slot, and then
they were all out on Cooper. I don't know why, but hey, I think Cooper Kupp will be a great fit for somebody.
Me too.
Great fit for somebody. Like, whether it be a younger quarterback like Carolina, like a Bryce Young.
I would like to see him go to the Cowboys and
me too.
And be that, you know, that, like, CeeDee Lamb. I know they move him. They can move both those guys all over the field, and they can kind of get this, like, you know, a little dynamic going over there. I think that would be great. But, I mean, he's a free – he just got released today. And so now he is going to be a free agent. So now he can go wherever the hell he wants.
I'd love to see the Jets go get him.
I know, but we know they won't.
I know. I'm just saying, like, if you're looking for like, I mean, maybe their draft process is to get the receiver. But if, you know, it would be nice to be able to see them, hey, let's go sign Cooper Kupp and then draft OT, you know, an offensive tackle.
Oh, that would be great. Listen, I'd rather him do that than not get, because, you know, we know Fields needs a good line.
Yeah, like, so I like,
first and foremost,
I think Cooper Kupp can help any team, so I would like to see him go. I think what the Bengals doing is an app. What the Bengals are doing is an absolute.
That was my
travesty.
Next thing is Bengals.
Just a
WTF?
Joke.
What is happening?
I mean, what a joke! Like, if you, I feel so bad for Joe Burrow.
Every mistake that they could make, they're making.
Yeah, I mean,
you never wait to sign people that you know you're going to sign. It does nothing but lose your money.
Yeah, I mean, Jamar Chase, I mean,
Hendricks, now the market is reset now. They've probably, between waiting on signing these guys, they probably lost $20 million a year between the two of them about what they could
sign
for.
I'm just shocked. I don't think that they're going to re-sign Hendricks. I'm not even so sure they're going to re-sign Jamar. I mean, this is just ridiculous. I mean, they need new ownership. They need somebody who's willing to pull the trigger. I've never seen a team so Super Bowl ready, so unwilling to spend money. It's unbelievable.
It's getting bad.
It's unbelievable. I mean, they let Mixon walk, who turned out to be a stud for Texans. They are going to let Jamar walk. I mean, like, or so it seems. I mean, I don't know when they're going to fucking pay this guy. They tagged T. Higgins. They're letting Trey Hendricks ask for trades. I mean, they refuse to spend a penny.
Here's the scary part, right? And I know, whatever, Bengals fans might get on us for this. But they tagged T. Higgins. And said, oh, you know, we just tagged them because we want to keep. We're going to still negotiate. They are now going to negotiate three huge contracts before the start of the season.
No.
At least two of the three of these guys are going to end up sitting or leaving. I mean, we saw it last year with T. Higgins in the show. And I feel bad for Joe Burrow because he might have to go into week one and two without Jamar Chase or T. Higgins. I mean, T. Higgins is not going to step on the field this year until he has a contract. He's just not going to.
You know what's crazy is that if Jamar was to hit an open market, I'm not so sure he doesn't get $45 million a year.
Oh, he is.
I mean, like, okay. I mean, like, that's like,
they should have signed him.
Be the biggest bidding war for a wide receiver we've ever seen.
As soon as Justin Jefferson got his contract, they should have signed him for like $2 million a year and say, look, that's what he's getting paid. We're going to give you a little bit more. Now he's going to ask for way more.
Well, because like, dude, they just know some team who's ready, like some team who's ready to win now, a team like the Buffalo Bills, or I don't know if the Buffalo Bills will pull the trigger on that kind of money, but somebody who's willing to spend the money is going to go out and spend a fortune on Jamar Chase.
Oh, I know. And they'll be getting a top two wide receiver in the NFL. So
the Bengals are a joke. So unless they go out and maybe they shock the world and sign all three of these guys and we look like idiots, I don't see it coming.
I don't see him signing all three, which sucks. I mean, all these good defensive players that got picked up. I mean, I know the Patriots picked up a ton of people. I could, you know, the Lions picked up a few. The Jets picked up some people. It's like all like the top guys are out, and they didn't sign anybody. And Hubbard retired, right?
They're losing guys. They're not re-signing guys.
They're signing guys. They're only getting worse.
They're only getting worse. Yeah, it's pretty sad to see. And then, like, you know, like going back to like it's all about money when we were talking about DK Metcalf, like, how about Myles Garrett going on basically a national press conference to state that he will not play for the Browns, like putting out release letters on fucking on Instagram and all this stuff, then to just turn around and take the money.
Everyone has like a price, man.
Yeah.
You know what? He I always just hate these guys that are just, oh, I want to go to a Super Bowl contender. It's like, no, you don't.
Yeah, you just want more money.
You just want more money. Super Bowl means nothing to you.
Yeah.
You want to be a Super Bowl contender, go take $20 million and play for the Chiefs.
I know.
I mean, the sooner or later, and all these guys do it, they do it at the end of their careers, you know. That's really it, but it's, you know, $40 million I know is tough to turn down.
I'm not saying that he's wrong for turning it down. I'm saying he's wrong for going on a ridiculous rant press conference to basically corner a franchise who took him into giving him more money.
Yeah. I mean, Max Crosby did the same thing. He was a little out on the Raiders too. He wanted to explore his options. They offer him money and he stays.
I know.
So, I mean, I hate when players do that, but I know it's probably not the player. It's probably
the agents.
The agents. So
yeah, hey, whatever. Power to them. They make their money. Yeah. But
another one I feel bad for here is Lamar Jackson getting DeAndre Hopkins, another wide receiver, just at the end of his career, and these guys refuse to get him any sort of meaningful outside help until the person's on the last leg.
Yeah, talk about a guy who's done. I said it when he went to the Chiefs. It's like when Julio went to the Eagles, and it was the exact same thing. See,
the Ravens are where great wide receivers go to die. You see that? It's like OBJ. Dez Bryant. Now we got DeAndre Hopkins.
It's just like, it's just so unnecessary. Like, these guys, like, DeAndre Hopkins is finished.
He's not better than Bateman or Flowers.
I know. So I just don't like. I would have loved to see them go get Cooper Kupp. So we'll see what happens.
Or
with
DK.
Cooper. Or DK. Yeah.
You know. And then you let DK go to a division rival. What? Because you didn't want to give up a fourth round pick? Come on.
I know. I agree. DeAndre Hopkins is not going to help them in any way, shape, or form.
No.
What do you think? I guess we'll get into a little bit before we wrap up. What do you think as far as the draft is concerned? Do you think Tennessee's going to make a splash and maybe steal Russ or Aaron Rodgers? Or do you think that they're going to just draft Cam Ward? Or do you think they're just going to totally just take Abdul Carter and just fucking totally shy out of the QB game?
I could see that. But every year it's the same thing where teams start getting desperate. I had written down, now that all these teams are filling up, where does Sanders go? Does he drop out of the top 10 now? I mean, but I know – as draft gets closer, it's just like the Browns need a quarterback. Titans need a quarterback. I think the Titans will take Cam Ward, and I think that'll be a good fit for them. I think it's going to be interesting to see that the Browns are going to want to take Sanders, and Deion's already come out making these little hints. I don't want him playing there.
You know what's crazy is that if I was in Tennessee's shoes, I would trade back, get more picks, and try to get Shador late.
Yeah, me
and then,
too.
And then bolster up the rest of the team.
Like, there was rumors, like, hey, they can move back. Like, the Giants are interested to do a swap with the Giants and take their next year's first-round pick or a second-round pick and kind of go that route.
Who's the Titans head coach?
Is it Callahan? No.
Did they sign somebody?
I don't think they fired their head coach. Titans. Yeah, it's still Brian Callahan.
Like I said, I was big on middle of the year saying that Shador and Deion go as a package deal to Tennessee, and I could see that happening still.
I mean, I could see Shador going there, and then, you know, next year if he don't have a good year, he's out.
Yeah.
Deion's in.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind it. I don't think Tennessee's a bad spot to go to, honestly. I think they, you know, I know I thought they had a good team last year, and I thought they kind of like, you know, obviously, Will Levis kind of threw a wrench in it, but I liked Pollard and, you know,
Calvin Ridley played well for them.
Calvin Ridley had a better year than I thought he was going to have.
The other kid who's just like a touchdown or nothing.
Oh, Westbrook.
And Akine. Westbrook
and the guy they got from the Bengals, the other wide receiver, Boyd. I thought Boyd was going to have a good year. There's just a lot of mouths to feed there. I liked their tight end, too. But they had a good defense, just not great quarterback play. That was one of the places I thought Aaron Rodgers could look at going. I mean, AFC,
that's what I'm saying.
South,
I could still see like them making a splash, like maybe trading back, getting a bunch of picks, signing Aaron Rodgers, building the team around, and then waiting for another free agent quarterback, or waiting for something next year or the year after.
I could see that. I mean, what do you do if you're the Browns? Do you take Sanders? I mean, you have to take a quarterback unless they roll with Kenny Pickett.
Well, I mean, Cam Ward still could be there.
That's true.
So, like, if you're the Browns, you just got to...
Unless
like,
they
you're
trade
forced
back. Unless
yeah, but you're
back.
Forced into a pick if you're the Browns, right? Because, like, you got to see what Tennessee does. You can't make any moves until you see what Tennessee does. Because if Tennessee trades back, if Tennessee trades their one pick, that means Cam's off the board. But if Tennessee keeps the one pick, like, do they take Abdul Carter? They might keep the one pick, still sign Aaron Rodgers, and take Abdul Carter.
Yeah, the Browns need to be ready for like eight different possibilities.
Yeah, so the Browns really are going to be forced to make a decision late.
Yeah.
So they're not – like, I don't think that they're probably game planning, but I don't think that they can definitively go in any direction until Tennessee decides what they're going
to
do.
No. It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, we got, five weeks left to the draft maybe? Yeah, like a month out, and – I'm sure as time goes on, we'll hear 1,000 different stories. But, I mean, it's every time before the drafts, teams get panicky and they just say we need a quarterback. Because it buys time. It buys time for GMs. Getting a rookie quarterback buys a GM 3 years because the first one to go, bad year, my rookie quarterback, head coach goes. And then it's a new head coach that comes in. And then it's, maybe we need to reevaluate. And it's like a lifeline for these for the GMs to just start fresh. And yeah. They get three more pay years out of it.
I mean, believe it or not, I know this is going to be a wild take and everyone's going to hate on it, but I could see Tennessee letting – I could see Russ going. I could see Russ going to the Giants, A-Rod going to the Steelers, and I could still see Tennessee – trading back and going and signing Kirk Cousins.
I forgot.
You know what I'm saying? I really think something like that could happen because
I think the Falcons are waiting. They're holding on to him.
Yeah, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. But Michael Penix is definitely going to start this year.
100%.
So I would say that Kirk Cousins is not a bad option for a team. I know everyone says, "Oh, he's got a wet noodle. His arm sucks." Blah, blah, blah. I still go back to them beating the Eagles in primetime. Yeah. Then against the Bucks division game, really good team. Him throwing for 500 plus yards.
And then I remember the Chargers game where he threw six interceptions.
But am I crazy to say right now to go win a football game? Who would you rather, your quarterback, Justin Fields or Kirk Cousins? I don't think that.
If it was one game and the game was in a month, I would say Kirk Cousins. But it seemed like as the year went on, his arm just got.
I know. I'm just saying. I don't think Kirk Cousins is as bad as his image is right now.
I don't think the Falcons. I think the Falcons should just keep him. If I was them, they're either going to pay him the full contract or they're going to pay 95% of the contract. So why not have him just be there? Well, you're paying for him anyway. If Penix gets hurt, you have a great backup. You're paying them regardless.
Yeah,
they don't owe this guy anything. He's the one that duped them in this, making them believe that he was still something great.
And I'm not disagreeing with it. I'm just saying I think it's an option for other teams, for other teams who are quarterback needy,
Tennessee,
Cleveland could wind up signing Kirk Cousins. There's a lot of teams that could still turn around and sign a guy like
it Kirk. Would be good for Cleveland if they loved Cam Ward, but he went, but weren't full in on Sanders, but they still want to be competitive. Hey, go trade a seventh for Kirk Cousins and say, hey, we're not paying him anything. So what's the downside?
I would
rather have Kirk than Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is my point. That's my point.
Absolutely.
I think he just kind of fell into no man's land, Kirk, as far as QB
discussions. He just has to wait now. It's the pecking order. Russell Wilson is waiting to see what Aaron Rodgers does. Mm-hmm. And then Kirk Cousins is waiting to see what Russell Wilson does.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. But I think Tennessee, Cleveland, they have a lot of options because they're so high up that they could either have the quarterback that either team wants in the draft, they can bolster up their picks, pick up a lot more picks, they could do a lot of things. So they're kind of still up in the air, but we'll talk about that as time goes on.
Yeah. So that's all we got for this week. As of now, next week, who knows what other moves will be made. We got Rodgers, Wilson, Kirk, and we still have Cooper Kupsi. So we'll see where all the other dominoes fall into place. But so far, I think we're pretty much in line on our thoughts and opinions on what these signings mean to all the teams, and not going to get overly excited about anybody.
But nope.
I thought the Raiders definitely got better. I think the Seahawks at least have a vision of where they think they want to go.
You said right before we sat down, Evan Ingram went to
Evan Ingram going
Denver,
to Denver. I thought
which
that's
is a big which is a big move for Bo Nix. Yeah. So
I really wanted him to go to the Jets. I thought he would have been a good safety blanket. Not that he's a great blocker, but you can split him out. And he's a big body who can actually catch the ball.
And he's fast.
And he's fast. I don't know why the Jaguars got rid of him. You're talking about a guy who 2 years ago had
100 balls. Yeah.
100 balls.
Yeah.
It's the Jaguars, so you never know what the hell they're doing.
I know.
All right, make sure you subscribe and subscribe to our channel, YouTube, Spotify, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Or X, all of the above, and we will catch you guys next week.
Yeah, just a little a little extra here. We did record the last 2 weeks, but we had a little issues with the editing and stuff. So we do have two other episodes. I'm debating whether I'm going to even put them out or not now that we've done the free agency episode here. But but either way, we did still record. So we do have those. We will still be putting them out every week. But just food for thought. We didn't stop. We're still going every week.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Catch you next week.